Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to read a bunch of scripture. So you all are visiting, you get to read some scripture. Maybe you've never read scripture, some of you. But we're going to all say this together. This is something we do here, and we usually don't read this much, but because of what I'm teaching and stuff, I want us to get a little hint of what's going on, all right? So let's read this together. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "We know new doctrine is of which you speak. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, men of Athens, "I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by the art of man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." All right. That's the Easter story. This is good stuff. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for everybody here. We ask, Lord, that you just continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, increase our understanding. You said understanding will keep us and deliver us from the evil way. Lord, we thank you for this day of celebration of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the gospel. Father, we lift up the people in Ukraine right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that Samaritan's Purse and pastors are over there sharing the gospel, and many are calling on your name over there in Ukraine, and they're being saved. Lord, we pray for even Russia, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that they would call on your name. We pray, Lord, that salvation would just visit this planet in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right. So, let's look at this. Go back with, if you would, Tim, to the first verse there. And I'm going to try to extrapolate a few things from this. And, you know, it's the idea is I really want us to get a hold of some understanding. So I think when we understand history and things, it really helps us get some understanding. So Paul is preaching in Athens, and they've never heard the gospel before, never heard of this resurrection. But Athens, Greece, was the place on the planet where people would come and hear information for the first time. They wanted to hear a new thing. And this is where all the historians and philosophers would meet in Athens, Greece, to hear a new thing. Help me to live. Speak something that's going to help me. Share something that's going to show me a different way, a better way. A new thing. They wanted to hear something new, something that would really help them. So Paul saw this, and the gospel had never been preached there. I was fortunate to preach in a city in India where the gospel had never publicly been preached, and I was just so blessed by that. We had to do it at midnight in the dark, so we had to keep some things undercover. But a couple thousand people showed up. I was just so enamored and elated with that, I couldn't believe it. But Paul was preaching in Athens, Greece, this resurrection for the first time. And I'm telling you, this is exciting. Now think about this. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked. This word provoked, it means stirred. So Paul was provoked. It means to take a combative position. It means to be angered. It means to incite a riot. This is what was going on inside of Paul because of what he saw in Athens. He saw all this, they had over 30,000 gods and statues of these different gods and different things they worshiped all over Athens. So there he's looking at Athens, and Paul was trained to worship one God. You shall have no other gods before you. Paul was a Jew, and so he saw all this and sexual immorality, steam houses. Yeah, they had them back then. And all these statues and things that were so far from God. And he saw all this, and it says he saw it. The word saw is the Greek word theater. So it was like a theater, like a movie playing of all this stuff against God is what he saw. All these things. You know, I've been to India, and there's places you see statues and foreign gods all over the place. I mean, everywhere. I remember seeing a big monkey out in the middle of a field. People worship this statue. You know, I'm not knocking India. I'm just trying to help you. People get caught up in this. Is this making sense? Idol worship is what Athens was all about. Now think about this. This is important Because of the darkness and the evil that was in Athens, Paul was provoked inside. But he kept himself together so he could minister in a way that would be effective. That would be effective and help to reach people and plant seeds for the gospel. All right, now, he was ready to do warfare against the evil forces that he saw in the city of Athens. Think about this. It says that they were given over to idols. This word given over, this phrase is a Greek word, kadidoulos. Kadidoulos. I know, well, you got to tell us Greek words all the time? Because that's what it says. I'm a person, I have to know what is it saying. I got to know what this thing is saying, and I'll search a word for days if I have to. I got to understand. It's just the way I'm wired. All right, so that's why you hear the Greek words. All right, so now think about this. This is what this word, it's a compound word, kadidoulos, and it means this domination. Kada is the first part of it, domination or subjugation. Doulos is the word slave. So it means to be completely dominated, subject to, and sold out to the rule of idols. Completely dominated and subjugated to and sold out to the rule of idols. In other words, listen, the idols were the masters and the people of Athens were the slaves. They were the slaves. They lived their lives under the dominion of idolatry and the worship of idols, private and publicly. They were taught their children to worship idols. Athens was known for being one of the most intellectual and intelligent cities in the world at the time. Now think about this. Many famous people came from Athens. The Sophocles, now if I say it wrong, get over it. No. Euripides. These were historians, okay, and philosophers. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle all came from this spot in Athens. Think about this. The ones we study about in school and think about. A lot of the stuff I wasn't taught in school. But now listen. Okay, it was celebrated for its literature, its history, and music, and philosophy. It was in Athens where the idea and the word democracy was coined. Democracy. Demo means man, krasi means ruled. Man ruled. This is where that word came from, democracy. Came right from that cesspool of all that was going on there. Democracy. God calls us to live in his kingdom, even here now. Kingdom is a theocracy. Theo is God, krasi, ruled. God ruled. That's what God calls us to. And this is what Paul was bringing for the first time to Athens. Now listen, and there was these statues of men, women with women. This was common. And they had vases and pictures and famous paintings of all this going on. Are we making sense? You still glad you came to Easter Sunday? All right. Now think about this. There was an amphitheater there. And this is where the court, it was a high court, one of the highest courts on the land in the world. And this is where they would come for these new ideas. They wanted to hear something new. Now, there was this, in this synagogue, this temple, this statue, and it was a woman, and Athena was her name. She was 40, they had the statue 40 feet tall, and the people in Athens would teach their children, they'd go by, they would bow down and worship the statue. And while this statue was there, it was continuous. Oxen would be sacrificed, smoke and incense would be burning round the clock. And this was one of the biggest idols. And they would teach their children to worship Aunt Athena. And you know, you can go see a copy of this in Nashville. Someone came up to me after, there's a copy of this, a replica of this statue in Nashville right now. But this was the statue, and it has a gold, she had a gold shield with a snake, a serpent on it. And they taught them to worship. They taught their children to worship that. You know, I got to pause right here for the cause. Think about this. There's a single mother here in this church, and she her car broke down, and a couple weeks ago, and so she has two children. One that's one, and one that's two, a little over two. And so she said, "I'm getting to church." So she brings her kids a couple weeks ago. It's cold out. She brings them to church, walks. I like that. She says, "I'm going to get to church, and I'm going to teach my children." She named one of her children, middle name, after a message I preached on Nehemiah. I like this kind of thinking. Now think about this. So now, okay, we're on a Sunday, and Donita told me this story. I wasn't even paying attention because I was out front. And Donita was in the narthex, and everybody had gone after church on a Sunday. Okay? The church was empty. But she was still here with her children, and they were out in the narthex. Well, her two-year-old son walked into the sanctuary, and the lights are on, and he puts his little hand up, and he looks around. This is what we do. He's by himself in here. He's learning. This is how you worship God. You see, am I making sense? And then he stepped out, put his hand down. Don't you like that? 2 years old. This is what we do. Somebody's teaching that child right. Am I making sense? Think about this. This statue of this woman represented the flesh, and that's what she represents. That's her whole idea. Now, give me verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. They were listening to Paul while he was proclaiming these ideas. Okay? Now think about this. Encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." Now think about this. Epicureans. Now, these were philosophers, and they were well known in that area. So they were here, they're wanting to hear something new. But here's what they thought. Think about this. Isn't this something? Last night I taught this and preached this, and a leader in our church came up and said, "My dad was an Epicurean and belonged to an Epicurean group back in the 60s and 70s, and you described him just the way it was. Listen. Listen. A group of people and philosophers, the Epicureans, we are free to do whatever we desire because there are no eternal ramifications for any of our earthly actions. That's what they believed, these Epicureans. Now think about this. The Epicureans coined the phrase, this famous phrase, now think about this. Donita and I were shopping. We went to a movie and stuff Friday, just try to get away. Sometimes you got to get away, right? To keep yourself sane in the membrane, right? Got to get out and do something once in a while. So we went to a movie and we went to dinner. Then we went shopping. And we're in this store, and she holds up this shirt. Says, look, you were just telling me about this. And on this shirt, it said, eat, drink, and be merry. This is where that phrase was coined in this city thousands of years ago. Eat, drink, and be merry by the Epicureans. Now look how that philosophy has traveled all across time. And it's made it to the shelves in our stores today. And we're still buying it and celebrating it. Are you listening to me? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. They didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe there was any ramifications for how you lived your life. Now think about this. Their philosophy was... Everything goes. Every form of variance, perversion, adultery, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means no restraints. Everything goes. The Epicureans were notorious for gross sensuality and depravity because they didn't believe in an afterlife or any form of eternal judgment. They encouraged over and over indulgence and excess. This group strongly resisted the gospel message because of its demands for holy living and the declaration of future judgment. Now there was another group, the Stoics. Stoics, philosophy, and they were diametrically opposed to the Epicureans. The Epicureans encouraged fleshly indulgence and lack of restraints. The Stoics were the antithesis of that. They said, you must have extreme discipline, self-control, and self-denial. Extreme discipline and self-control and self-denial. They were the ultimate perfectionist. You ever go to somebody's who's operating in perfectionism? Everything's got to be, this has to be that way. Has to be perfect. If you're here today and that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong place. Has to be perfect. You see this? It has to be perfect. Now listen to me. They were so consumed with self-perfectionism, they advocated, listen, suicide before failure. In other words, commit suicide if you're going to fail at what you're doing. Suicide is at its highest rate right now. Among our young people, it's never been this high. Think about this. The Stoics were self-consumed, focused on man's ability to attain perfection on his own. When the influence of Christianity began to grow, the Stoics resisted the gospel message because it presented man as a sinner, unable to save and redeem himself, devoid of hope without God. Because of their prideful position that proclaimed their ability to attain perfection on their own merit, the Stoics perceive the gospel as an affront and insult to their intelligence. You ever been around people like that? They think they know something. And you talk about Christ and what you believe. Or they're ashamed. You ever get around people? I got people afraid they don't want to tell people they come to this church. I think that's funny. You ought to be glad this church is here.
Amen.
Am I making sense? We ought to keep going before I get stirred up here. Look at this. It was completely self-consumed philosophy that focused on man's ability. Now, you see, Paul said in Colossians 2:8, he said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the principles of this world, according to the traditions of man, and not according to Christ." If you hear something and receive something that's not according to Christ, you've received a false message. You've received wisdom and teaching that's not going to have any eternal value or any redeeming power in your life. It's okay to have information, but it's not going to have any redeeming power in your life. That's not according to Christ. Christ was the kingdom of God. You see that? And that's what Paul was telling us. Philosophy, the word philosophy, philio, means love, man's love. Sophie means wisdom, love of man's wisdom. That's what philosophy is, the love of man's wisdom. Man's wisdom cannot save you. Man's wisdom cannot give you eternal life. Man's wisdom cannot remove your burdens. Man's wisdom cannot heal you. Jesus is our wisdom. He became wisdom. The Epicureans and Stoics were asking, who is this babbler? This word babbler, is the word, the Greek word, oh, here we go again, spermologos. Spermologos. That's what the word babbler means. Sperm, seed, logos is word. Who's this babbler sowing seed into our hearts and our minds about his thoughts and ideas and beliefs? Who is this trying to impregnate us with false ideas and ideas, things we've never heard before? Spiritually, am I making sense? I'm a babbler. I've been babbling for 22 years up here. I'm going to keep on babbling as long as they'll have me. Are you listening to me? Listen to me, folks. This is so important. That's what babbler means. Thoughts, ideas, words, thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. And that's what he was doing. He was seeding these crowds because he knew it would return 30, 60, and 100 fold and produce in advance God's kingdom.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.